You're Rick, right? I'm Negan.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, a podcast about comic books, video games, movies, television, and everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips, Brandon Stone, and Shuddy Boy.
You know, you're one bad day away from being me.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Journey into Comics. I'm your host, Nate. Today, joining me, as always, the coolest co-host that I've ever had, Brando.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, to gush over you. How's it going, man?
It's going all right.
We brought some friends today.
We did.
Should we introduce those guys so we don't fuck up and forget like the 50th? I'll never live that down, by the way.
Well, one of those guys you did forget to introduce.
Yeah, totally.
So I would hate to do that twice.
It wasn't Dick Gravy.
No.
No, it was not. So, Wes, welcome back to Journey into Comics. I feel like you've become more of a regular now, coming closer to episode 100.
I'm good with that. It's fun. Yeah. I love doing this.
Awesome. How you been, man?
I've been pretty good.
Cool. Just living the dream.
Oh yes, the dream. We'll call it that.
You saw Civil War.
Oh yeah.
Okay, we're gonna talk about that today. Also joining us, though, before we jump into the actual heart of this episode, Mr. Blaine, how are you, sir?
I am most excellent.
Welcome back to Journey into Comics. Last time we had you was to talk about Negan. No hard feelings, Wes. You were supposed to talk about Negan. We kind of replaced you.
I was so hoping to get it on.
It's good to have... I don't know that we've had the four of us all together at the same time, have we?
No.
We have. Actually, I don't think I've ever talked to Blaine at all.
Ah, Blaine, Wes. Wes, Blaine. Nice to meet each other's.
You've talked to me before. I was at Silent Rob's wedding.
Okay, then I talked to you once before then.
Wes was probably inebriated at that wedding, I would go to guess.
No, it wasn't. No, like there was no alcohol.
Oh, that's even cooler.
Yeah.
And I was on the 50th, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
During that hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
during
he was.
That hour?
The first hour. You guys have competed against each other.
Mm-hmm. You whooped my ass.
Normal total memory loss on my part then.
That's all right, Wes. It happens, man. But today, guys, the point of today's episode, obviously, is to really unpack, go real deep, and talk about this awesome, well, at least I thought it was awesome, movie, Marvel Civil War. The four of us have now seen it. So just to kind of start off, initial reactions, Brando, you just saw it this weekend.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yep.
Okay. Wes, did you see it opening weekend?
Yes.
And then Blaine, did you see it opening weekend?
Yes,
okay,
I did.
So you've sat on this for a week.
Uh-huh.
The three of us have really kind of sat and waited for Brando, which is fine. So now let's get into it. We'll start with Brando. His experience is the most recent one. So Brando, how was it?
The movie or the experience?
Well, we'll start with the experience, and then we'll move into the movie.
The experience was relatively uneventful.
Well, that's good. So you didn't have any...
No. 8 people in there. Nobody making any noise.
Wow. Was it a matinee show?
It was at noon.
Okay. Well, that would explain 8 people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
But, yeah. It was relatively uneventful. It was, you know, just fine. The movie itself, I thought, was pretty good. I don't think it's the best Marvel movie that they've done, but it is a very well together film.
Okay, excellent. Now, Wes, what about you? How do you feel, just like a little quick overview of this film?
I do love it, but it clearly had a few faults.
Okay. Moving on to Blaine. Blaine, you're the dark horse in this, man, because you don't read comics. You don't read comics like us, and I like this viewpoint that we get from you. So what was your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it. It was definitely a Captain America movie,
mm-hmm.
like through and through. Not an Avengers; it's straight Captain America. The only issue I had with it, and it's not even really an issue, is Captain America was just, you know, same old Captain America. You don't get much else from him. That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all
right. Okay. Cool. So guys, let's. I don't know, Brando. How should we really move into this then? Next, do you think?
Well, okay, because you know, as Blaine said, this is clearly a Captain America movie, and a lot of the other characters are basically, so, you know, they're side characters. Some of them are even relegated to even just cameos, glorified cameos.
Yeah.
Especially for the big fight scene in the middle, which was great. I mean, okay, so I'm going to just start with the actual part of the movie that bugged me.
Okay,
That was the style of filming, the very jerky, fast, shaky cam that they do when they do really big action stuff. And it does set it apart from like the Avengers, because that doesn't do that. I really dislike that because I get really disoriented with what's going on.
Yeah, it's hard to focus on the screen when it's constantly jostling around.
Okay, well, and it's not just like, you know, they're moving here, moving there, moving there, but it's also like the guy has like some really bad shaking problem, because it's even when he stops to go focus on something, it's still like the guy's been moving around so much, he's got to like slow down the shaking. And
so like Michael J. Fox, Marvel movie cameraman.
Damn. Like almost, yes.
I was about to crack a Michael J. Fox.
I was waiting for it. We're fucking terrible people here at Journey into Comics, folks.
Oh, we're the best terrible people.
I agree with that.
Anyway,
yeah, go on, Brando. Sorry.
So you go from that, and then there's the scene. There's a fight scene at the end, and that's the one that we've all seen from the trailers. And that's the back shot with Cap on one side, Bucky on the other side, and Tony right in the middle, and they're all fighting, right? And there's that shot that is like it's back, and it kind of zooms in. It slowly zooms in, and so there is a mix of styles here. And I got to say that I do not like the shaky cam style. It really reminded me of like stuff they do for like the Bourne movies or some new fangled action adventure movie that every time I watch it, I had to stop, and it honestly takes me out of it. So that's not to say that like the movie wasn't good. That's just a part of it that really, as they were doing that, and they did it a couple times in the movie, I'm just like, oh, I hate this kind of crap. There was a whoever did the score for this.
Oh.
Like almost kind of like the main theme of the movie. I can't remember.
Now I'm going to try to look that up, Brando, while you're talking, who did the score for Captain America Civil War.
It's something Jackman. It's not Hugh.
Well, clearly.
He would be a very talented man if so.
Well, I mean, he's a very good singer. But
well, yeah.
He really is.
But it kind of like the main theme harkened back to a John Williams score from Home Alone.
That's a deep cut reference, Brando. Holy shit.
Wow.
And you hear it multiple times where it's like this.
Okay, so I've got the answer.
Who is it?
Henry Jackman.
Henry Jackman. Not Hugh, but Henry. Close. Oh, Hank.
His lesser known American brother.
Does he have two claws, like instead of three, or is he the older brother and he has four claws, or
he's got the one right in the middle?
Oh, just one claw.
No. You're misunderstanding. No, it's just a claw hammer comes out of his hand.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. And he smashes people's. Where's
his uniform? Is red plaid.
Man, yeah. Can I just say, here's something really weird. This guy who did the score for Civil War here has done some weird fucking movies besides Civil War. Here's the rundown of movies they list. He did the Winter Soldier score, which it wasn't bad. It wasn't super memorable. He also did X-Men First Class, Kingsman Secret Service, so far sticking in the comic book genre. And then here's the one that just kind of threw me off. He also did the music for Pixels, the Adam Sandler movie.
Okay.
Really fucking left field. Like, he's done all these, like... You look at this is a nice list of like quality comic book movies. Kingsman was awesome. X-Men First Class was awesome. Winter Soldier was awesome in its own right. Civil War was pretty awesome. But Pixels, I don't think so. I don't think that he picked,
it had its moments.
He picked the clunker. Oh, you actually saw it.
But
wait.
It was fine.
Time out.
I saw Pixels, and it was not the best Adam Sandler movie out there. It was enjoyable.
It was mildly okay.
Everybody on this podcast right now has seen it except for me. Do I go and see it? I'm going to have you guys be the ones to tell me.
Might as well.
If you have a nostalgia for old video game stuff, go see it.
Yeah.
It's not that. it's not the greatest movie that you're ever going to see. It's not going to live up to anything that could be. However, it is entertaining. It's you know what you're going to get by going into it. So okay. by that point, don't hold it up too high. Just, you know, because you go into that, you're just going to think it sucks. You know, I went into it expecting it to be like a 5 or a 6 movie, and that's kind of what
you can't take it seriously. That's the problem. Don't look at it like it's some serious flick. It's a fucking Adam Sandler. It's supposed to be haha movie, you know? So let's move away from Pixels and not spend. This is not Civil Pixels or Pixel War. Ooh, that's a good one. That's odd because we can touch on this after we're done talking about Civil War. But this week, Brandon, I already told you this. You were actually there quasi for a lot of the work I was doing, but I now have an entire retro setup that fell into my lap. So we can get into that later. But anyways, I want to move into the next part of this. Wes, what is the thing that you didn't like about Civil War?
There's one major thing, and maybe my views of the comics are painting it a little skewed.
Okay, that's fine.
But I think my issue really is I felt a strong lack of permanence to any of the events that happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could be fixed with future movies, but as it stands, the Civil War, the comic, obviously had serious ramifications that lasted for still to this day in the comics.
Absolutely.
And the movie, it basically just, the only real ramification in the end is that you now have Avengers A team and Avengers B team who the government shuns and is actively seeking, probably.
Yeah.
That's not the biggest change since some of them were fugitives anyway.
Well, once Thanos shows up, they're all not going to give a crap who's who anyway.
Exactly. Correct. I'm sensing a real lack of permanence. Like, there was no significant deaths. There was no major, well, actually, maybe half a significant death, and that'll get to, too. But it didn't feel like anything would really reverberate throughout the whole Marvel Universe or anything.
Now, the one thing that could have been big is, and they did a good job of it, even though they kind of showed it to you in the trailer, is what happened to Rhodey when Vision,
yeah.
You know, when Vision missed Falcon and hit Rhodey. Rhodey went completely dark, and that was just, that's terrifying to think about.
It was
free falling.
Yeah,
yeah, but that could have given it a sense of permanence too, if he really hadn't been up and walking by the end of the movie. Really,
exactly. Now, right.
Yeah.
In the Marvel cinema, you know, Iron Man's his best friend. He's going to be walking before long. It just, again, I still thought that was one of the best parts in the whole movie, though, because the trailers really painted that like it was Bucky that did it or something like that, you know, something awful. But no, it was an accident based off Vision. That was crazy to me.
Yeah, he missed.
That was a really interesting moment there, because he's like, I lost focus.
Yep.
And I'm starting to think, like, what if that's the Mind Stone doing that?
I'm not.
No,
well, see, I strongly favor the fact that it was Scarlet Witch being injured and on the other side.
Yeah, possible. I mean, historically in the comics, Blaine, you're naive in the comics, which is okay. Nothing wrong with that. So we can educate you here. But in the comics, Scarlet Witch and Vision actually are a couple. They're a tandem.
Okay.
And I like that they started to set those roots up in this movie. Because I felt like,
yes.
You know, oh, who's expendable? Oh, well, of course, they could totally kill Vision, and that would be no big deal. Obviously, we learned that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a thing that happened that there was no resolve to. And I think that was one thing this movie did that I liked, but we'll get into those in a minute, is that there was a lot of things that kept, you know, stuff going down the road.
Now, is it weird to me to think that some part, like one of the subplots of the movie that I was most interested in was the Vision Scarlet Witch storyline?
No, there's nothing wrong with that, because it was awesome.
Well, I mean, because to me, that was like, I was more interested in that than seeing what was going on with, like, with, you know, with Zima. So, like,
Zima. Zima. Sorry, I was like, what, the alt beverage?
No.
Baron Zima.
That'd be a weird one.
I want somebody to make that fucking meme right now, a picture of Daniel Brohl with a fucking Zima cap on the top of his head, you know?
Well, they don't even call him Baron in the movie, do they?
They do not.
No.
He's like Colonel.
Yeah.
Corporal or Colonel, something. Like
Corporal
that, yeah.
Colonel Zima.
That's awesome.
So
I didn't really care about that. I went because Avengers 2 only gave you a little bit of a Vision, and so this gave us a little bit more. And I was I'm fascinated by the character because, you know, essentially Vision is an amalgamation of Ultron and Jarvis.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so this is all, you know, living is brand new to him. Like the little scene of him cooking and never having eaten anything. It was awesome because part of it reminded me of Bender from Futurama.
Yeah.
And, you know, and how bad that comes out, or, you know, but, you know, he has a definite caring and he's very passionate and compassionate towards Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. And I like to see their, you know, relationship evolve to where, whenever she's on the ground and he's holding her and she says, is it, she says, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, me too. You know, that's like the one part of this that didn't really seem like, you know, like everyone's mad at each other. Everyone's like kind of getting each other, spouting off stuff. These two genuinely don't want to fight each other.
Yeah.
And even he, you know, he's holding her after it's all kind of over saying, well, that's done. It's over. We don't have to do this anymore. You know? And I really liked that part.
Okay.
It really made me buy into everything about the two characters. They developed them even further in this movie than they did in the movie they premiered in.
Yes.
And I really, it made me kind of think, would a Vision and like Vision and Company movie work? Like Scarlet Witch obviously thrown in, but like center on Vision and a personal journey he has to go through of some kind.
That could be interesting. Uh-oh. Hello, welcome the cat. Get out of here, kitty. We're recording a podcast, god damn it. Okay. Oh, shit. She almost made me drop the iPad, too. That could have been bad. Anyways.
That would have been
so
very bad.
I got to find out, though. We know, Brando, what you didn't really like, you know, and we know, Wes, the things you didn't like. Blaine, what didn't you like about this movie? Was there anything that was like,
like I said, just, you don't see much coming from Captain America. You just get the same Captain America you got through all these films, which is okay. Chris Evans does an awesome job. I guess like I'm with you guys. I didn't like the sense of no resolution. Like, that's all I can really think of.
Okay. Well, there were things that I liked and I didn't like about the lack of resolution in some regards. Cause there were some things like, it's not over. Them hunting, the Avengers is not over. It's going to last through a couple movies. We're probably going to see some shit in Black Panther. We're probably going to see some shit in Doctor Strange even. You know, even if it's minor stuff in Doctor Strange, it's possible. which, cannot wait for that. We're only a few months out now from Doctor Strange. What's that? June, July, August, September, October?
Oh, yeah.
6 months. So half the year. We're almost there.
I just can't.
This was the big thing in the movie for me that kind of, I obviously going into this movie, I knew I was frustrated we didn't get more Spider-Man and Ant-Man because they were hands down the stealers of the movie.
Oh, yes, Ant-Man all the way.
They
owned it.
Paul Rudd was just phenomenal. He's hilarious. The scene when he meets Cap and he's like, I'm shaking Captain America's hand. I've been shaking your hand for too long. I'm sorry, you know? Like,
yeah.
Thanks for thanking of me. He says,
"Giant Ant-Man."
Yeah. Well, no, Giant Man. Yeah, but
Giant Ant-Man. Oh,
Giant Ant-Man.
Fuck yeah!
And then Spider-Man's line: "Have you guys seen this old movie, The Empire Strikes Back?" And I'm just like dying, like, "Oh, this is fucking great!" So you know, love it. Hey, Aunt May. Aunt May is like she's the what's that? Like an elf, an aunt? I'd like to. F, you know?
Alf.
Marissa, Alf? No, don't call her. Don't fucking call her Alf. No. I just saw that brown-ass alien.
He does like eating cats.
Oh.
It's true.
Nice play, Brando. Oh. Nice play. Yeah, man. You knew coming in that one of two things was going to happen. Either the audience as a whole was really going to take to Tom Holland's Spider-Man and really get behind what they're trying to tell, And that was the only thing that happened because they did it just fucking perfectly, you know? As a whole, the movie just really set it off. What's uh-oh? Uh-oh.
You are cutting out really bad.
Oh, yeah.
I'm cutting out bad for you guys. Luckily, I'm the one recording, so they can't hear it.
Right. Well, see, you sound like you were like talking in a fan underwater.
Wow, that's very descriptive. Holy shit. Okay, well then, fuck it. I'll pass it on. Can you guys hear me now?
No.
You still can't hear me. Shit, this is weird. Nope. Okay. Audience, this is a new one. I don't know how to really handle this. I also need to do something, guys, so I'm just going to stay here and keep talking.
Oh, wait. Where'd you go?
I'm here. I'm right here. I just had to reshut the door. The fucking cat jumped up, opened the door wide open, and of course...
Okay. Yeah, okay, you sound a little bit better now.
Hey.
Dude.
Cool. I'm glad I'm back. Is this better?
Cat swallow a magnet or something?
Am I next to a magnet?
There you go.
Oh, I said, did the cat swallow a magnet? You shoot the cat at and suddenly you found it just fine.
Oh, weird. I don't know. Maybe that's what happened. So yeah, I just think that, as I said just a second ago, that you guys didn't hear because you guys couldn't hear because the connection. I thought that Tom Holland killed as Spider-Man.
Oh yeah.
I'm really, 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 really even more excited for his solo movie Spider-Man: Homecoming now than I was when Marvel got the fucking rights back to begin with. This is great. They have done. We knew they were gonna do Spider-Man right. They do their fucking characters justice.
Yes.
What did you guys think of Spider-Man? We'll start with Wes.
I thought he was great. He really nailed out both, he nailed the Parker moments with anime and all that. And then his work as Spider-Man, the constantly talking. I loved it. When we're fighting. You're not supposed to talk.
And he just didn't stop. That was awesome.
It was fantastic. And right out of the books, really. So I'm extremely excited to see this next movie, which... they did announce is fully in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and Iron Man's even apparently going to be in it. Super excited about it, all that.
A couple other characters they've rumored to also be a part of it. Paul Rudd's Ant-Man has rumored to be one of those characters, although not confirmed yet. So let's hope, because I thought they had great on-screen chemistry, you know, as CGI as half of that was, if not all of it. You know?
Yeah.
Blaine, what about you? Do you like Spidey?
I liked him. Yeah, he did a good job. Cool. I felt there needed to be more of him, of course, but that's all right. Let's see, I really enjoyed his zingers and just constantly talking to everybody, and like he was fanboying so hard yet still going against him. It was great.
Yeah, I like how they brought him into this universe too, and how Tony was like, hey, what's up? You know, like, I know who you are. I've been keeping tabs. I've had to keep my eyes open on heroes all the time because you never know when you might need somebody. And I've been, you know, it has to be you. You're the one. And he was just like, oh, okay. And then he, pulled the attic latch and the spider suit falls out. And he's like, no, what's that? No, don't look. And I loved it. And then so much so, they did such a good job with Tom Holland's Spidey. They gave him the final after credit sequence. And that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they said, hey, it's not really going to further the story any. But we want people to officially be confirmed that Tony gave him this technology and is having him run with it. He essentially has his own Jarvis now, you know?
Yeah.
Granted, it's a little bit different, but Brando.
Looked like he had something on.
Yeah, absolutely. The Spidey watch, if you will, with the old school Spider-Man logo. I liked it. Brando, what did you think of Spider-Man?
Good.
Good. You took Kate, right? You guys both saw it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did she like Spider-Man as well?
Yeah, I mean, she. I think she has a little bit of a higher opinion of the movie than I do. And that's not saying that I disliked it at all, really. I mean, as said, you know, coming from the comics, the finality thing, and feeling like some of the characters, like Hawkeye, he's like, hey, I'm here. Okay, now I'm not. And, you know, Ant-Man, obviously... You know, Ant-Man and Spider-Man really stole the show for that middle part of that movie, and then they're just gone.
Yeah.
It's okay, because of course the big story leading up to this, and especially into this season, was Batman v Superman. Civil War. And now that I've seen both, both of them have stuff that I dislike about it, but for completely different reasons. But they're almost all centered upon the same problem, and that is trying to fit too much stuff in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you think these ensemble movies, these movies with big tandem teams, is getting a little too much to juggle, maybe?
Well, okay, the thing is that both movies tried to introduce new people, right? Well, okay, so you had to introduce the new Batman as being the big, you know, second to Superman. You had to introduce Wonder Woman, you know, not spend as much time on, but okay, introduce Lex, and then you even had to even do something with Doomsday. And then, of course, they went out of their way to show you that there's going to be a bigger universe involved. But then there's, with that movie is like a four-hour movie condensed into 2.5. And it really took away from some of the scenes. Now, hopefully that's better with the 3-hour version, but we don't know. With this movie, yes, me too. But for this one, they decided to do a centralized story based upon the events of Civil War. Now, of course, the comics and the movie, tit-or-tat, they're completely different, but they have the same sort of premise. And this movie honestly, in my opinion, it probably could have done better if it was called Avengers Civil War and if it was just a plain Captain story. Captain could have had his story, and that could have been the main arc. But then you could have spent more time with some of the other characters. Because since it was a Captain America Civil War, that had to have more screen time than anybody else. And bringing these other characters in, while very enjoyable and very comic book-like for them to just come in and leave and then let them wrap up the main story arc, you were left wanting more, especially out of Ant-Man, especially out of Spider-Man and Black Panther, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I was getting ready to unpack Black Panther next because he deserves his own. Like, he wasn't
– right.
Spidey and Ant-Man got it for me because they cut the tension in the movie completely in half. They allowed you to really sit and enjoy – while still having the sense of, like, kind of urgency that there might be some crazy death or something going on, they kind of leveled it off. But with Black Panther, man, he brought a new dimension to the Marvel universe, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I love that you got to see – think about it. The first time you see Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther in that movie to the end of the movie, he has a full fucking arc and changes completely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He starts with this great, like, almost Batman-esque fucking vengeance, like – it's your fault my father died. I'm going to take you out. And by the time he understands the truth, and by the time he has been able to understand himself as a person, he realizes he needs to help Bucky instead of kill Bucky.
Well, see, what was cool about that for me is that when you start seeing things unwind and you see him sort of like tagging along towards the end, I thought, oh, crap, he's going to mess up everything for everybody. But it's actually not. It's actually Tony that does.
Yep.
And actually, Black Panther is the one who's, once he finds out everything, he's the one with the more stable head.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He was a perfect Black Panther.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
The power, the style, the costume, everything worked so well. His acting nailed Black Panther.
So he did a fantastic job.
So you guys heard the news that broke this week about Johnny Storm has joined the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yep.
Not as Johnny Storm, obviously. But Michael B. Jordan has joined the cast of Black Panther. I'm really looking forward to that movie. I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
Something
I heard real quick that was intriguing is, as of that mid-credits scene, we know Bucky is being stored in Wakanda.
Love it.
Does that mean that Bucky, the Winter Soldier, could have a part in the Black Panther movie given that he's located at home territory?
Mm.
I think so. I think it's possible. However, and that's a giant however, I think the purpose... Okay, maybe you'll see him in the tube, and that's one of Sebastian Stan's credits to be in a movie, because he signed nine deals with Marvel. As of right now, Sebastian Stan, I think, is only committed to... He's only done 4 of those, if I'm right. Mm-hmm. The first Cap, the second Cap, he had the quote-unquote appearance, which ends up being in Civil War anyways, that was an Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he did not make an appearance in Avengers Age of Ultron, did he? He's not.
No.
They mention him Falcon says I've gone missing cold on the case. Missing persons case. Yeah, but he isn't in it. So yeah, he's only done really technically three of the committed nine. So Black Panther could be one of those. And I thought when he signed the nine movie deal that it was set in stone he would be the next Captain America, because I just couldn't wrap my head around anything other than what ultimately didn't happen at the end of Civil War, which was very different from the comic books. But Black Panther, let's talk about it and unpack it, guys. What do you guys think? Brando, let's go first with you.
I thought he was great. I really liked how they introduced him sort of just offhandedly. Like, you meet him for like maybe 30 seconds and you're made aware, okay, he's the king's son. And then they kill the king.
King is dead. I am the king.
And so they did that really fast. Okay. And then you see, you know, Black Panther getting involved in the chase with Captain and Bucky and then the German authorities. And of course you know who it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think my wife was the only person in that eight people in the theater that didn't know who it was. She looked at me and goes, "Who is that?" And I'm like, "Black Panther." She goes, "Who? Black Panther." She goes, "Huh." And then when he unmasked, and she goes, okay. She realized who it was. But I thought he was good. I thought he was really good. And I like how they, you know, his suit's made of vibranium, so it pretty much makes him bulletproof.
Yeah, I loved seeing that helicopter just take a full Gatling gun to him. And he's like, "What the fuck is this shit?"
Yeah. Shoe flies don't bother me, you know. One thing I thought was crazy. So we're driving back from the theater, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure Chadwick Boseman is like British. Like, he's got to be a British dude for sure. And then I looked him up. He's straight up fucking English. Like, he's an American dude.
Yep.
You know, and that accent is, that's a difficult accent to nail, and he does it convincingly. Had I not known anything about him prior to it, had I not ever heard him speak before seeing this movie, I would have assumed he was actually South African, you know.
Yeah, he had a really solid accent, the work was very good.
And I can't remember, I watched something, he was on Jimmy Kimmel or something, but he did a movie right before Civil War, and that was the movie he like honed that accent on, because it was like a period piece, and he needed that like almost Sudanese accent. And he just worked on it in that movie and then brought it to the cinematic universe and nailed it as Black Panther. Loved it. Love that we saw Wakanda. So excited. This time next year we'll be getting the Black Panther movie, right? It's after Doctor Strange? Is that right? Or am I?
Yes, I believe.
Next year is Guardians.
Yep, Guardians is in May and Black Panther is in
September?
Well, because then do we get Spider-Man in like July?
Yes.
So we get Guardians, Spider-Man, Black Panther.
Next year's the first year we get the three main Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, too.
Mm-hmm.
Next year's the first year that the schedule... I kind of like what Marvel did, though, because I remember back when they announced Civil War, they announced a shit ton of movies. Captain Marvel, The Inhumans, both the Infinity Wars. They initially said this movie was going to be called Serpent Society, and then they fibbed us, you know, Black Panther and all these things. Back then, they were smart because they said, we're going to lock down all these fucking dates. That way, if we get the rights to Spidey back, if we need to move something around, the dates are already locked in place. We can put whatever fucking movie we want there. And ultimately, that's what they'd done. Now, the only thing I don't like about this is they unfortunately have bumped the Inhumans off of the list of upcoming Marvel Cinematic Universe releases. That doesn't mean the movie's not going to get made. It doesn't mean they're going to completely abandon the Inhumans or anything like that. What it really means is they haven't announced past 2019, and they don't want to announce their 2020 lineup. They don't want to announce 2021 because that's forever the fuck away, you know? Keep it with the imminent future and keep what's on the horizon current and keep people focused.
I looked up the schedule.
Okay, go for it, Brando.
All right, so we get Doctor Strange in November.
November 4th.
Next May 5th, Guardians 2.
Sweet.
Then July 7th, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Sweet.
November 3rd, Thor, Ragnarok.
Oh, next year's Ragnarok. Black Panther's not till 2018.
February 17th.
Of 2018.
Early 16th. And then it's Avengers, the next Avengers film, which won't be called Infinity War anymore. But yeah. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp is in July 6th.
Yep.
What happened with the Infinity War naming?
I think that the Russo brothers, I mean, they knew, yeah, tentatively, it's going to be the Infinity War. Maybe the first one's Infinity Gauntlet, and the second one's Infinity War. Maybe they don't use the Infinity anything, and you know, the Dawn of Thanos or some shit. You don't want to be super committed to a name until you're closer to the time you're actually going to start marketing and stuff. You can put a placeholder there all day, you know, but that doesn't mean that at the end of the day it's going to necessarily be. I mean. At one point in time, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that comes out in a couple weeks here, Out of the Shadows, was originally called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Half Shell, which I thought was stupid. Placeholder name. They changed it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping for Avengers 3, The Avengering.
Who, The Avengering?
I mean, I'm kind of glad they decided to change the name, because if I were them... I would definitely want to shy away from the part one, part two moniker. I hate that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this. Brandon and I, we talked about this on the last Journey into Comics episode that was actually Journey into Comics and not one of our subsidiary shows. I'm pretty sure that only like Iron Man has ever used the number game in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and everybody else has had like a sub-named plot, like the Winter Soldier,
yep.
The Dark World,
yeah,
Avenger or not Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy isn't just Guardians of the Galaxy 2; it's Volume 2, like the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So, I agree that Infinity Wars Part 1, Part 2, they wouldn't have done anyways. They're gonna try to come up with some sort of name that's the tag for the movie, like Age of Ultron or whatever the hell it is that they're trying to get us to. Another thing to think about with the naming of the movies, Blaine, just to mention, they'll probably, if Marvel does like they are doing now, will market new comic books with that name to come out around the time of the movie to probably relaunch their Avengers line, because that's usually what they do every 4 years is fucking relaunch, and it's like, stop it.
That's right.
I at one point really cared about reading the Avengers. I have like a nice run of Avengers, and then it's just like, you bore me. You've just bored me to goddamn tears, Marvel. And that's why DC and fucking Image get all my money when it comes to comic books, and you take all my cheddar when it comes to movies, because that's how I like to see it done. Deep into this movie, you know, one thing I will say, and I don't know if this is the same for you guys, this movie to me was very memorable. As in, I can recall pretty much in order how the movie was laid out. Like, it was like the intro scenes in 91, and then there's this whole, like, was it like December 26th of 1991, or December 16th of 1991, and Winter Soldier, you kill somebody and you don't know who, and of course, I was like, oh, it's fucking Starks. Spoiler alert.
you picked that up quick. Took me a little longer.
I did. I was like, oh, dude, obviously. It made sense to me, you know? And then how bizarre. Right out of that scene, you get Tony talking to his mom and his dad. He's young. I mean, they used the same technology that they used on Chris Evans to make him look skinny and scrawny in the first Captain America to make Robert Downey Jr. look like he was like 18.
It looked great.
And it looked phenomenal. You almost couldn't, you know.
Michael Douglas.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Ant-Man. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Also, the technology that Disney and Marvel has is amazing. They can reverse the age of people. That's crazy. So maybe we'll have Robert Downey Jr. in the Iron Man suit till he's like 94 years fucking old. You know, we won't know the difference because they'll just keep him young looking. He'll just be there for voice. But
to immortality.
So then you realize Tony's, you know, kind of reliving, oh, you know, this was a memory in my time, in my childhood that, you know, I want to get back. I wish I could change things. It's this new technology. This is the little subplot where he's offering scholarships to college students that comes into play later with the first appearance of Spidey. You know, then you come out of this bit, and then we start to, you know what I really liked? We finally got to have a fucking payoff crossover from The Incredible Hulk. Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah.
Fucking finally.
Yeah, they dug him up, didn't they?
I loved it. I was so excited to see him back.
Was that 2000?
That was awesome.
2007, 2008 when that movie came out?
2008. It was the same year that Iron Man came out.
It was a really good movie, too.
It was. It
doesn't get enough credit.
It doesn't. Ed Norton did a phenomenal job, and that's just kind of, I think that's like the black mark of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because, you know, the contract dispute, whoever was arguing over what kind of money was to be made, and, you know, he exits. But we kind of ended up with a dark horse win, because I love Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner.
I agree.
More.
He's really great.
You know, than Ed Norton. But I like Ed Norton anyway, so that doesn't matter. You know, overall, though, this movie, man, I see there are little faults, and I see there are little things that are a little wonky. How ironic is it that the only character death was signified with, like, some sense of actual finality this week, as in the movie Peggy Carter dies.
That's actually not the only character death. I was about to complain about the other one.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, I will.
Because I know the other one you're going to talk about, but good guy Agent character Carter. Deaths. Let's talk about this. So Agent Carter dies. And then this week they announced that ABC has canceled Agent Carter.
Yeah,
I know. The timing.
The writing's on the wall. So, Wes, I got to know, I'm taking it you're probably a little bit upset at the Crossbones death?
A little bit upset. Not mad. Not even – I wouldn't even dock the movie for it, really. It's just – it feels like a wasted opportunity since Crossbones is such a major threat.
Yeah. And they just had him blow himself up like a minute and 47 goddamn seconds into the film. And the crazy thing is, though, as soon as he started to blow himself up, I was like, fuck, this is a super smart way to do the Stanford incident without having to do the Stanford incident. Holy shit.
It was actually a good substitute.
But, all right, hold on. Was I, in the movie, I actually was thinking about this. This is something that I thought about later. As it was happening, and then they, of course, have the Sokovia Accord. So the events of Age of Ultron happen.
Yep.
Pretty much they disintegrate an entire city and drop it down onto the earth. The countries in the world were mad, but that, you know, they were like, we're going to just rabble. And then there's one bombing that really doesn't look that bad in comparison. And that's it. Straw is broken.
Right. But no, actually, the Sokovia Accords, Thunderbolt Ross said this. He said that the Sokovia Accords were already almost finished when the bombing occurred.
Yeah, and this was actually already the straw that did break the camel's back. Yeah. Oh, man.
It just took them a year. It took them a year to get that done.
Well, I mean, that's politics. I mean, Wes and I both said it at the same time, so it must be true. You know, the one thing too about this movie that I really did love is that it did a great job of telling what you could consider, and we can argue about this if we want, the beautiful end of the Captain America story. This character's arc from beginning to end, and if Chris Evans never comes back and Cap is just by the wayside and disappears forever, so be it. There's no, there's nothing that can be undone. You know, they didn't kill him. They just put him into purgatory. And I kind of like that. Because now Chris Evans can come back, which would be great, or he doesn't have to.
Oh, he will.
I mean, I'm sure he will. He's already said that they're, he's like, oh yeah, I know the fucking schedule for filming Infinity Wars. By the way, I'm not dead. so, you know, and that's another thing. You think about Infinity War, guys. Like, this movie had a lot of Marvel characters. They're going to have 68 Avengers in the Infinity Wars. Think about that for a second.
Yep.
That number is stupid. Crazy. Even if it's for 13 seconds on the goddamn screen, it's the first time we're seeing a character. Even if it's a brief appearance. Even if it's a, you know, they quote-unquote kill somebody that, you know, we'll get down the road. Maybe. I don't know.
I got something. I heard a rumor the other day, and I definitely am doing this just to incite some rabbling.
Ooh, like it.
I'm looking forward to hear all three of you groan when I say what I heard.
I already know what you're going to say. Do it, though. Okay.
So there's been some rumors and some kind of throwing around ideas of what they're going to do for probably like Phase 4, you know. They don't know yet, but there's been talks of doing movie adaptations of some of the television shows that they've been working on. Namely Daredevil, and if they do that, there's already talk of recasting for the movie.
I don't see, Brando, let me say this. I don't see Marvel doing that. That is something that Marvel would not do. And here's why I have to argue against this. They have done a goddamn good job of nailing the casting thing. We've only got two incidences in the cinematic universe where there's been a major recast. Terrence Howard to Don Cheadle, Edward Norton to Mark Ruffalo. But this would
no one remembers Terrence Howard anymore.
I do. I fucking goddamn. He
didn't do shit in the first movie.
That's true. That's true. And that's fine.
At least Edward Norton actually was the Hulk. Terrence Howard, he wasn't even War Machine yet. He was just like Iron Man's token black friend.
Basically, yeah.
But here's the fact. Charlie Cox has just done nothing but slay for Marvel. He is like just destroyed for Marvel. He puts on these beautiful performances. He can do way deeper than a, you know what, honestly, 13-hour long episodes is harder filming than one fucking hour and a half long movie. Sorry.
A whole lot more to do.
More for sure. Grueling. Absolutely.
For some reason, my brain put it together as in, like, when you said 13-hour.
Oh, like 13. Long
episode. Like, each episode is 13 hours long. I'm like, holy crap, this is a long damn series.
That would be gigantic. Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to sit down for half the day and watch one episode of Daredevil. You know? What happened? A fuck ton, let me tell you about it. There were six fight sequences. Holy shit.
Dude, they had the camera on him for 2 hours as he pretended to be blind, just feeling around for stuff.
He didn't know the cameras were on him, though.
Yeah, I felt like the lavatory scene was unnecessary, though.
Ew.
Murdoch, like 45 minutes on the can. Come on.
And the dude's blind, but he's looking at his iPhone.
Yeah, what are you reading on there, Murdoch? You bastard. So, honestly, Brando, I don't foresee them doing something like a recast. It wouldn't make any sense unless contractually Charlie Cox puts them in a position where he's like, I need $48 billion to do this movie. And they're like, no, you know, like you're not that good. So I don't see that. Actually, this is not the Marvel news I thought you were bringing to the table, by the way. Let me mention that.
Well, then, good. I'm glad that I can disappoint you.
No, you didn't disappoint me. You threw me a curveball, and I liked it. It gave me the opportunity to have a more genuine, unexpected response. But I got to hear the other guys. Wes, what do you think? They're not doing this, right?
I agree completely. They're not going to do that, especially, like, they really have put so much effort into it. Now, like, the TV series have done a great job establishing the shared universe.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this because it became even more apparent with this movie. It's actually one of my other complaints. Civil War was a perfect opportunity for them to acknowledge the TV shows, and they failed to do that in any regard, really.
I'm going to have to disagree.
There is one throwaway line. I just felt like they could have done a little more. That was a little sad.
I just think if you would have tried to shoehorn Daredevil and or Jessica Jones and or Luke Cage at this point.
By the way.
What's up?
I didn't necessarily want them in it.
You just wanted them to be like referenced?
Acknowledged.
So
you could have easily done so. Oh, as yeah. Well.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Throwaway line about the growing inhuman threat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look something what you guys like have that. Inspired. Look at what's going on in New York City right now. You got some guy running around that dressed in a devil costume, beating up people.
Exactly.
You know. And yeah. Now we got a guy with a skull on his chest shooting people from rooftops. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then because look what, and that's your guy's
vigilantism.
Skull.
Yeah.
Because they mentioned vigilantes. It's
easy to acknowledge it.
Yeah, man.
That disappointed the hell out of me.
But
honestly, when I was going off the point of the actual, you know, possibility of the reboot and recast stuff, I can clearly see them making a movie to, you know, bring popularity, but using the same characters and such,
mm-hmm.
just to bring a wider cinematic appeal.
I mean, and you know, but guys, here's the crazy thing, you know, Marvel has pulled from their A-list, they've pulled from their B-list, they've pulled from the fucking D-list, Guardians, I'm looking at you, and they've not fucked it up. They have a catalog of millions of characters. There will never be a time where we run out of Marvel characters to write about. There is going to have to be a time, and we should all be aware and acknowledge this just as movie fans, almost as the James Bond series. We're going to have a new Tony Stark someday. We're going to have a new Steve Rogers someday. We're going to have a new Ant-Man someday if they keep all these characters alive throughout after Infinity Wars and so on. But the actors we have now are just, they aren't going to live forever. And that's the truth. True. So with that one thing being said, we've got to expect that they are going to do more of the movies of the characters we already know and love. But some of the people that we know and love them as aren't going to be those people. And they're not going to go, we're stuck and we can only do our characters from the TV show. If they can help it, they want to keep the Netflix stuff not separate necessarily, but just not forced in. Let it come naturally. Let at some point in fucking Daredevil Season 3, Spider-Man make a fucking appearance. Or fucking Season 1 of The Punisher, let Spider-Man make an appearance. You know what I'm saying? That's how you tie the cinematic universe, using your little guy to bring it. Don't put fucking Iron Man next to Daredevil right away. People would obviously be like, well, Iron Man's much cooler, man. I don't like Daredevil. And right now, the Matt Murdock that we have in this universe, I want you guys to think about this. The Matt Murdock that's on the TV show, do you think he would feel confident 100% standing next to all those other heroes?
He's still a Spider-Man movie first.
Exactly. Build him up. Yeah. Make him feel confident that he belongs next to these guys. He's still just a dude.
I could see that working.
You know? That's all I have to say about that.
There's actually an angle I just thought of that makes sense, especially since it's basically how it happened in the books. The angle of the visiting politician being Black Panther and Matt Murdock is responsible for helping out
Ambassador.
With legal duties.
That's actually genius. Wes, that's a super good tie-in.
That's one of the ways it happened in the books. So that would be really cool if they did that. And but I feel like there's a lack of expanded universe stuff within the movies, and I'm kind of sad about it lately.
Well, and here's what I know, and this is why I suggest the whole Spider-Man crossover one way or another, and this is something that comic book folks will know. But shockingly enough, Amazing Spider-Man 16 and Daredevil 16 had crossovers from Spider-Man and Daredevil. So in Daredevil 16, Spider-Man appeared and was on the cover. In Spider-Man 16, Daredevil appeared and was on his cover. Also, Spider-Man was had an appearance exclusively on the first Daredevil issue, on the front cover. That's how they sold the book.
Yeah.
Was, hey, this guy knows Spider-Man, you know? So I understand everybody's frustration with the Netflix people. But we have to keep in mind that while they're big players to the overall storytelling aspect of this universe, they don't quite measure up to the level of hero that some of these other heroes are with crazy powers. You know, how's Matt Murdock going to handle standing next to Thor? You know, oh, you're just a Norse, you're just a Norse god who can fucking fly. That's cool.
How does Hawkeye do it?
Well, Hawkeye, right. I think Hawkeye...
Black Widow,
can we all agree that exactly. Hawkeye is like the most laid-back fucking Avenger in existence? He's like the Snoop Dogg of the fucking Avengers, you know? He's just like, hey, what's up, guys? I decided to unretire. I'm hanging out. I guess we're going to fight. Are we still friends? Don't punch me that hard. That's cool. Why am I in this fucking jail cell again? I don't remember. Fuck Hold you, up. Tony. You know?
That's what I was about to say.
So, I will say Jeremy Renner did a great job as Hawkeye in the movie. I don't give him enough credit, but he definitely was also really good in all the scenes he had. I don't like that at the end of the movie you're just left with the raft, you know, thing lingering. What's to come? What's the future hold, you know? How are they all going to get out of this situation officially? The resolution?
Captain...
Well, I think it's safe to say they got off the raft.
Well, yeah. You know what I'm saying, though. Did they swim to safety? Is there a Cap boat?
I'm pretty sure Cap's got a jet or something waiting.
Captain America they has all a have jet to, like, now?
They all stand on a shield. On the shield. Oh, wait, the shield's gone. Shit. I got nothing. Scarlet Witch flies them out.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Yeah, man, I don't know. I loved this movie. I liked that it was definitely different from the actual comics. Like, Civil War in the comics is driven on, this is the political thing. It's very political in its telling. There's a lot of whose side are you on, which goes much deeper than just, are you on Cap or Iron Man's side? It's, are you with the good guys who also include bad guys, or are you with the bad guys who also include good guys? Because not just the heroes took sides during the Civil War. Villains did as well, and that's one thing we didn't get. One thing I'm happy they didn't do, quickly mention this, I'm glad they didn't kill Ant-Man, because when you find out the rumor that Giant Man's going to be in the movie, the first thing I thought is, fuck, they're going to replace the Goliath death with Ant-Man. And that would be fucking...
Oh, that would have sucked.
You know what I'm saying? Because I thought, what if they do a death of the Avenger and that of one of the Avengers, and it really like drives the wedge between Cap and Tony? And they didn't. They didn't have to do that.
On one hand, that would have been really interesting, but at the same time, that would have been a waste of Ant-Man.
Totally.
It would have been. But I can see, like, Steve is like, how could you? And Iron Man's like, I didn't even know him.
Yeah.
You only met him 5 minutes ago.
Well, he was my friend,
I
was Tony.
Like, shit, I like that guy.
He shook my hand for an uncomfortably long period of time. We were close.
Then Tony's like, oh, fuck, I remember that guy. He used to serve me ice cream. Yeah, Baskin Robbins. Oh fuck. Oh yeah. So what's next to talk about, guys? What do you want to discuss about this movie? We're already like an hour into this, and I feel like we haven't really covered shit. Like, we've covered a lot, but we haven't covered much.
I loved Robert Downey Jr. in this movie.
Yeah.
You're
just on your knees Tony for that hard DJ, huh?
Oh, you know me, but no, I thought Tony got a lot of awesome development in this movie.
Yeah, you got to see the darker side of this character.
Oh yeah, you see so much depth with him in this movie, and it's great. I loved when he finally sees that security footage or whatever it was of Bucky killing his parents. I was like, whoa, and you just see him snap, and you see him turn. You see he sees red, and he's just savage from that point out. And I love it. Yeah.
That was great too, because, well, obviously for different reasons, but in the books, in the comic, Tony goes basically villain from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
Because the events of Civil War, he does some pretty nasty shit, and it turns him very villainous for a good period of comic books. And so it was really nice to see at the end that they showed the fact that Tony's far from perfect. He really can go to those dark places, and he's not always the hero that we know.
So I have a question real quick before I forget it. This is Blaine. No offense. This isn't technically for you. This is for Brando and Wes, because they've read Civil War. You didn't read Civil War, right?
Me? Blaine? No.
Okay. No. Just making sure.
I skimmed through it at Barnes & Noble's because I was wanting to pick it up after you guys did your debate.
Yeah, you should. It's a great read. Seriously.
I've really wanted to.
I almost thought you were going to say I skimmed through the wiki.
I thought that too.
I have, in fact, done that.
Oh, wow. That's a typical Blaine go-to. Sure. But, okay, so for Brando and Wes, here's one thing that I found interesting. We get Spider-Man in this movie. We got Spider-Man in Civil War. But Parker did not play the role he did in the comics whatsoever. We didn't get the Major unmask. They didn't even fuck with it. He was there just as utility to fight for fucking Tony, and I loved it. Because I was worried,
I'm actually
man.
Glad for the introduction of Spider-Man.
That's what I'm saying.
Do it on such a short notice.
Exactly. Like, how fucking weird would it have been if he was just Iron Masked? I'm Peter Parker, also known as Spider-Man. All of a sudden, hey, by the way, this is my new totally rad suit. Do you wonder who bought it? Because it wasn't me. You know, I'm still a high schooler.
The implications, they would have literally had to show the shooting of Aunt May.
Yeah.
From, like, that happened following the events of Civil War.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't do it either, because in the lead-up to his unmasking in the comics, it is a big moment for him to decide to do that. He even talks with Mary Jane and Aunt May. He's like, is this the right thing to do? You know, if I do this, it puts you guys at risk. And you know, they say we've always been at risk, essentially.
Like, do you not remember all the times we've been fucking captured, Peter? Jesus Christ. Like, do you not remember the death of Gwen Stacy, dude? Like, no one's safe when they're around you, man.
Exactly. And it, but I, that wouldn't make sense with the story that they're telling, and for them to introduce him and do all that, that's too much. I like how they just show the scene of the like little clips of him basically starting off doing stuff and saving people in New York. And that was enough for you to go, all right, at least he's out there and he's starting to get a name and he's gotten some attention. But then they can build on him from there, and then they can start building up you can start building up the Peter that will eventually get to the point where he would have been at the beginning of the Civil War story in the comics.
Yeah, totally.
I would like it if they come to it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You want that Parker moment to eventually unmask?
Yes, I just think it would be a great driving point for the hell that a storyline could go through.
Oh,
I love that point from Civil War. And like I said, it literally ruined his life. Everything about his life was touched by the horrible things that happened after Civil War.
Hey, guys, I have a thought.
I would love to see it on film.
About to blow your minds. Go on. What if Peter gets the symbiote during the Infinity War?
That would work.
I mean, that's a beautiful fucking place to put it in.
That is a great place, because they introduced the intergalactic conflict in that through that.
Exactly.
That could work really well.
Or if the fucking Guardians brought the fucking symbiote back to Earth on the ship, they didn't know.
Something like ooh.
I mean,
that.
Those are one of two things that I've thought about. Let's address this in the movie, and we can all have a laugh about this. What about Tony Stank? I think that might have been like that's like his second best cameo in all Marvel movies, next to the Deadpool cameo, really which funny. Wins for me.
I love that one.
I mean, Stan Lee cameoing in Deadpool was great as the strip club DJ, but FedEx driver delivering to Tony Stank, I just fuck. I was laughing so hard. You know, you get so wrapped up in Civil War that you forget, like, hey, I think at some point Stan Lee's supposed to drop in this motherfucker.
And the next did forget for the most part.
Yeah, and then you're there and Rhodey's learning how to walk again, obviously, with Stark Tech. Fucking product placement bastard. If Stark Tech was real, they'd make a lot of money on advertisements in these fucking movies, let me tell you, because their name's plastered everywhere. But, you know, that was a cool little scene. And for him to mess up one of the major characters, you know that Stan, you know, he's only got a rest his soul. Like, he's only got a few years left, probably, unless he's, you know, the first ever, like, you know, robotic human. And that's what he's spending all his Marvel money on, because you know he's rolling in it. Jesus.
It's going to be like an army of robots marching down the streets. Excelsior!
Yes!
They've all got the mustache.
You know, I just... All right, so let's get down to it. I'm going to find out, because I got a couple other little things I want to talk about here on the tail end of this episode. But we're going to do it in tradition with the newly released podcast that I'm doing with Veronica called Foodies Watching Movies, which you all should check out on the Journey into Comics YouTube and on our page and wherever the fuck else you can find us. We're going to do pizza slices. So you have up to 5 pizza slices that you can give Civil War. I want to get your review tallies ready. So let's start with Blaine. How many pizza slices does Marvel Civil War get, man?
I would give it 4.
Mm.
And but the fifth one has a couple bites taken out of it because I love pizza.
So it's like 4.5?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay, 4.5.
They are pretty big bites, so... Yeah.
Okay.
4.5.
Wes.
I would say like 4.5 slices of pizza, and the last bit, like, you think you're going to get it, and then it gets snatched away right before you can grab it. So it's like unfulfilled.
Oh, so it's like a 4.5?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Brando?
All right. So I'm going to give it a 4.
Sure.
And I was going to eat the other slice, but I dropped it on the floor. And I have cats, so it got rather hairy, so I just threw it away.
Okay. That sounds really gross. I just imagined like a piece of pizza falling in the Ren and Stimpy universe. And it always looked like stray pubes, you know, every fucking time. Oh, God. So I'm going to give it straight up 4 pizza slices. I didn't even have a fifth piece. I just got a personal pan from Pizza Hut and 4.
So they're not even really big slices.
No, they're tiny slices, but they were delicious.
So
I will say my slices are New York style.
Of course they are. Compensating bastard.
I got Chicago deep dish.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you guys the question, since we're kind of done with Civil War. We can bring up randomly whatever you want if you have anything else to say. But you guys heard the rumor of who might be getting the nod to play Captain Marvel?
No. Not recently.
Well, not recently if you weren't paying attention to magazines that none of us fucking read, except for somebody found something that blew my fucking mind. This actress, who I'm going to leave her anonymous for 1 second so I can describe this picture, is on the cover of, I want to say, like, GQ or Maxim. I think it was Maxim magazine, right? And she is, you know, in, like, kind of a sultry look, but she's got this jacket on that is the fucking, it has to be either an Easter egg, a tip of the hat, a nod to the fact this person's got to be in the running to play Captain Marvel, and that person is Chloe Grace Moretz, also known as Hit Girl. All right, nice. Let's see what you cunts can do. She was 11 when she said that in that movie. Now she's like almost 18, and she's gonna possibly get this role as Captain Marvel. And I think just seeing that picture with her and the jacket, if you haven't looked it up on your own time, I was like, yeah, she fucking nails the look. That should be Captain Marvel. Like, you couldn't fuck the whole Ronda Rousey thing. She might look the part, but she would be a terrible actress. Have you seen Expendables 3? She's not that good. And she has brain damage now because she got knocked the fuck out. I think there was a... I want to say that Shuddy Boy said something like Natalie Dormer would make a great Captain Marvel. Natalie Dormer plays Marjorie in Game of Thrones, which is tonight, episode 4. You know, I would be down with having Chloe end up playing Captain Marvel. I think she could handle it. I think she's a little young, honestly. I think she's a little young for the part, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because they could tell an origin story and keep her around for a while. And I think, and by the time the Captain Marvel movie doesn't even come out for what, 2019?
Yep.
So she's going to be what? Okay, right now she's 18. It's 2016. That's 3 years. She'd be 21.
20 by
then. So 2021. I mean, still young, but a good intro into that universe. And then you have somebody who can evolve and get older over time and keep playing this character. Also, hey, Marvel said it. Kevin Feige said it. We're interested in doing a Black Widow movie, finally.
Oh, yeah. That was exciting to hear.
Christ, it's taken them forever to announce that.
Yeah.
You know, you just like... bread and butter. Also, some people are theorizing, this is just Marvel talk, I'm just saying this off the top of my head, you guys rapid reaction as much as you want. Apparently they think there are rumors that Thor Ragnarok will secretly be Planet Hulk.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. I love that.
I've seen mention of that.
That's what they're building to. I think that could be cool. I don't know.
It would be a great stepping stone.
Yes, I agree. And that would be a nice way to get Hulk into the ethereal and into the outer space realms. Maybe we can get a World War Hulk movie as a solo film. Could be interesting, Marvel. Just saying.
Yeah, it would be a really good way for them to cover Planet Hulk, considering the quote-unquote challenge of incorporating it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which they've discussed repeatedly, and it's gotten kind of old.
Yeah.
Also, fingers crossed, Beta Ray Bill.
Oh, yes. Oh, that would be awesome to finally get Beta Ray. Will we ever get the Frog Thor? Or is that just too deep of a cut for Marvel? Like, man, we can't do Frog Thor. No one would take us seriously. I mean, they did a fucking talking raccoon, though.
Right. See, I can see that being like another Loki joke. Yeah. Like from Thor 2 when he's like turns into Captain or something. He makes Thor look like a frog.
Oh,
I don't think they'd actually have him turn him into a frog, but I think that would be great.
I like that. That would be cool if they did, made him like Loki. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Wes. I got you. I got you, Wes. I just am stumbling over my words right now because that happens to me sometimes from time to time. I had something else I had to ask, and then I can't think about it because my brain doesn't function sometimes. Oh, yeah. Hey, Deadpool came out this week.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Deadpool came out on Blu-ray. Did anybody else other than me buy it?
I got it. Oh, yeah. I got the Best Buy Steelbook.
Ooh, you bastard.
It is sexy as fuck.
Yeah, they were sold out when I went to go buy it, so I just had to get a normal copy.
I got mine from Target.
Ooh.
Yeah, Wes.
I absolutely love the gag reel.
I haven't watched it yet. Don't fucking spoil.
I won't say nothing. Watch it.
It was good.
Okay. I'm gonna do it. Wes, did you get it? I didn't hear your answer and all that.
My answer was with what money?
Oh, Wes, damn it. That happens. Hey, also mention, we are literally, guys, 2 weeks away from the finales for Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow. It's all wrapping up. Also, let's mention quickly, Supergirl is on fucking CW Network finally.
Yes.
How
that is
fan fucking tastic is that news? They are.
That season was.
I told you, Wes.
Sorry. Yeah, no, really. It was really good. I'm excited that now it's coming over to the CW and likely Universe crossover now. I mean, they did some weird explanation there, of course, alternate Universe. But
that's fine, though, because now Cisco could pull her.
Oh, could do some interesting stuff.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not caught up on Arrow, Flash, and I haven't watched any of Legends of Tomorrow yet.
Wow, you need to, must. It's so good. But literally, they have to be at this point. What's up?
I was saying, I actually think I brought it up to you very recently that I need to watch it.
Did you get all those, by the way?
You never put them up.
Yes, I did.
I checked yesterday and they were not up.
Legends?
Yeah.
I'll put it back up, motherfuckers. I can't get anything done around here with you guys, you fuckers. Legends is awesome, yeah, but what I was going to say about Supergirl being on the CW now, absolutely without question, they have to be inching towards the Legion of Superheroes. We're going to get it on TV, and I'm stoked.
Oh, that would be great.
They could do their own version.
To introduce it.
Yeah. And I mean, the way that Legends is ending up, they're having some interesting things go on there. You could bring characters in and out of that could be a part of the Legion. Obviously, John Constantine is still very much at play in that universe. And Matt Ryan said, anytime they want me, I'll do it. Maybe we could end up with a fucking Constantine show by next year. Put Supergirl on Monday. Put Flash on Tuesday. Put Arrow on Wednesday, Legends on fucking Thursday, Constantine on fucking Friday, and then you have a CW week worth of fucking awesome TV.
That would be pretty awesome.
It would be. It would be the coolest. I would be so excited. I just can't wait. We'll have to see what they... soon they're going to be announcing the lineup. I want to say it's this Tuesday they announced the fall lineup for CW, so we will know where Supergirl's going to fall. Maybe they could put her after Arrow. Kind of like how iZombie is after The Flash.
True. Could do that. It's more lighthearted. Possible. It makes sense.
Yeah. Awesome. So, guys, go ahead, Wes. No, you go.
I had the one point one thing that I was going to bring up about Civil War left.
Do it.
It's not a very big point. I was slightly disappointed that we didn't get any hints toward Thunderbolt Ross's future.
Oh. Mm-hmm. RH?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
I would have really liked that. It could have been a subtle nod. I don't know. Something, it didn't work. We need to investigate this project or something. I don't know. I really would have liked them to resolve his plot line.
Hey, guys, I have a thought. What if Thunderbolt Ross isn't the one that ends up getting the Red Hulk ability? What if it's Everett Ross, his son, who was played by the guy that plays John Watson, Martin Freeman.
That was not who he played.
Everett Ross. Yeah, Martin Freeman in Civil War played Everett Ross. Huh?
No relation.
No relation? Really?
No relation. Hmm. He's an ambassador to Wakanda in the comics.
Okay. Okay.
Nice try. And I can see where you were going with it, though.
You just got West.
Yeah. We need to make a no button. Relation. You just West all over my face.
From his Westicles.
Oh, yes! Oh. I just got drenched in slimy West juice. Gross.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Only you would hopefully know. Oh, this show turned weird really quick. Okay. Is there anything else anybody else wants to say before we wrap this today, guys?
I got nothing. I'm good to go.
That's pretty typical of you, Blaine.
I'm satisfied. I'm spent.
We should probably wrap this before any West juice gets anywhere else.
Uncharted 4 came out.
What's up?
Uncharted 4 came out.
I haven't played it, so I can't talk about it, Brando. Maybe.
Doom came out.
What?
Doom came out.
Doom came out, too.
Don't play that either.
It's interesting.
Okay.
It's old school Doom.
Oh, you want to talk about old school? Here, let's go back to that thing I forgot I was going to bring up. So this week, I'm sitting in my house. It's Wednesday. I got shit all to do. I'm like, I'm going to mow my yard. I'm going to do some housework. I'm going to get some shit done. And Sarah's dad shows up with like 7 goddamn boxes full of shit, which was every retro system in existence that I personally have ever played. Obviously, like the Turbo, TurboGrafx and stuff like that. The ColecoVision's not in there, but like any system that I've ever played was in these boxes. So, regular Nintendo, yeah. Super Nintendo, 64, GameCube, PS1, PS2, Xbox, Dreamcast, Genesis, Atari 2600, and I spent, aside from doing a podcast with Brando, most of my day in the shit of becoming a retro game collector out of nowhere. Like, I didn't plan to be, didn't really want to be, but now I am. Like, I spend most of my nights now just playing the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game on NES, because it's the shit. That's all I'm saying.
Hard.
It is very hard. It's very difficult. That water level fucks me every time, and that's where I rage out and go, yep, I'm done. Okay, I don't need to play any more of this. Give me something easy. And then I watch Sarah. She's like a fucking farm shaman or some goddamn shit. She's like, hey, check this out. Super Mario 3. I'm like, cool. She's like, look at all these awesome secrets that no one knows that I do. And she's like beating all these fucking things in weird ass order and destroying the game in no time and getting unlimited ass P-Wings and then going back and beating the game a second time. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I can't even beat Mario 3 once. You know what I'm saying? Like,
noob.
Do you guys know all the Mario 3 secrets?
I know a lot of them.
Yeah.
I know you can beat the game really easily in like...
It takes about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you speed run it right, absolutely.
Well, I mean, that's with the whistles and everything.
Yep.
Now,
yeah, that's
fine. Now, Nate, did you get the link I sent you?
Yeah, you sent me a thing for a thing. I haven't clicked it yet, but okay, I need to look at it.
Okay, you said you need to get like an AV switcher. It is an 8-in-1.
Oh, that's amazing.
You put 8 of them in and it outputs to 1 AV switch. It is like $20, but it is worth 8. It. And so I have a retro game story too. So yesterday we go out and about and it's Friday. And you know, my wife's like, "Hey, do you want to go to town with me?" And it's like, "All I want to do is play Uncharted." So, no. But she goes But then, you know, she goes, "Hey, you got $50 to spend." And I'm like, "Okay, I guess I'll go check out, see what they have." And I'm literally about to walk out the store without buying a damn thing. Because that's kind of where I'm at right now. There's a few, few things I could buy, but you know, it's either, I'll wait, or that's not cheap enough yet, or, you know, stuff like that. So I'm getting ready to leave and I decided to, you know what? Okay. I'll buy a few things. And I picked up like Resistance 3 for like $2. And I picked up, Far Cry Instincts Predator, which is the original, and then the expansion for the 360, that was like $4. And then I'm looking around and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and buy the Nathan Drake collection for PS4. that was like $25. It's not too bad for, you know, being used. It only came out like what, October?
Yeah.
So I'm getting ready to leave, and I had already passed it. I caught myself slipping. You know, it's one thing when you catch your friends or someone else slipping where you catch something cool that they just totally missed. Like, they were looking right at it, didn't even see it. But I walked by, and I found Paper Mario 1000 Year Door.
GameCube. Oh, shit.
And I'm like, holy crap, I looked at the GameCube section, didn't even see it. Now, it was a bit pricey for my taste. It was $40.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so, you know, decisions have to be made. So I went from not buying anything to asking if I can have $25 more.
and I she like said, your style.
And then she said, yeah, if I can. And then I send her a thumbs up. Well, I take my stuff up there, and the guy polishes a disc or something. It comes back, and Paper Mario rang up as $19.99. Oh. So
victory.
I get home, and I'm testing my games. It doesn't work.
What?
Okay, it reads that it's in there. Okay, it'll even get it'll even boot up, and you can we're at the little health thing, and it says press any button. I hit any button, and then it starts doing the Nintendo, the developers, and all that stuff. And it gets to the part where the book is getting ready to open the bit, and then the disc stops spinning, and it says there has been an error. Please check the power settings on your GameCube. And I know my GameCube has been doing some funky things lately, like the internal calendar reset, and it's changed the settings to like the year 2136.
Whoa.
So I'm not entirely sold that it's just the disc. However, it does boot other games. So I really don't know what's going on, so I do need to take it back. Because the disc doesn't look bad. He did have to buffer it, but I'm wondering if the buffer didn't damage the disc.
Do you have an original Wii?
I do not have an original Wii. Otherwise, I could test it in that, yes. Yep.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take it in and ask them to test it and check it out. And if it works on their system, then I'm just going to have to find a new system, because my system is being kind of funky, and I'm not entirely 100% sold that it isn't just my system messing up on that one game, but it does load other games. So there's also the possibility that it could just be the disc.
Totally.
Awesome.
That's awesome that you got it for cheap. Sucks that it doesn't work right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get it working. We have that game for the Cube.
Yes.
And we also might have an extra GameCube, Brando, so I'll let you know. I think we do.
Sweet.
We might actually have two extra GameCubes.
And also, I'm just throwing it out there that if you guys are moving out to Cali and need some extra money, we can probably make some deals with stuff that you might be able to part with.
Okay. There are some things. I'm sure that you would peruse upon the categories.
For the last thing on my note, I won't talk about it, but Uncharted 4 is absolutely amazing.
Cool. I can't wait to get it.
I love it so far.
Speaking
of retro callbacks without spoilers, that bit in Chapter 4 was a pretty hilarious callback.
Yes, it was. I loved it. And one thing I will also say about it is that it definitely has the Last of Us feel to it, as far as, like, you can definitely tell that it's the same engine.
Oh, cool.
Me and Silent Rob were actually having a conversation last night briefly about how sometimes Uncharted starts to feel like The Last of Us, and that it almost makes you want to start looking for the scrap and stuff to sell things. And it made me really think that that would be a good mechanic, but this is not going to happen.
Right, no. It definitely does still feel like Uncharted, but you can definitely tell that, you know, once they went The Last of Us route, they definitely took that as an influence as far as, like, storytelling and always finding that damn crate that you need to get to places with. And I am at the end. I think I'm like chapter 17 or 18.
Whoa.
So I'm knocking on the doorstep there of being over. And I cannot stress enough how good the storytelling is in this.
Okay, Brando, you've almost beat the game, and I don't want any spoilers. Okay, you don't have to give me any spoilers. I'm going to ask one question, though.
No.
You know, and some of our listeners probably know too, that one of my favorite moments in Uncharted 3, spoiler alert, is the ship scene. Okay?
Yep.
That's a huge dope fucking moment. Okay. You're in the ship. It's starting to tip over. The water's starting to come in. Then you've got this whole race against time thing. And it's really a big feel. Is there anything in this game that's bigger feel?
Bigger feel?
Or as big?
I mean,
because to me, that, man, that's like the fucking coolest moment in video games, in my opinion, is this, that specific moment in Uncharted 3.
This game has its own sort of thing.
Okay.
That's big in it. It's not, I don't want to say it's like on the level of big of like Colossal or like, you know.
Kind like of like the train wreck in 2?
Yeah, something like that. I don't necessarily want to say that it is like that. However, it is like very, it doesn't really start off like it's going to be, but it turns into it.
Okay.
And I guess without spoilers, maybe Wes has got there, but there's a certain chase scene.
No.
Okay. Well, there is a chase scene that doesn't really start off pretty epic, but it ends pretty epic.
Cool. Cannot wait to eventually have Uncharted 4.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely can't put a score on it yet, but I can definitely say that it's probably, you know, knocking right on the doorstep of, you know, 2 is still my favorite, and that's only because I played it before 3. I mean, and 3's did nothing wrong. 3's right up there. I mean, so 4 is different. 4 definitely has its own feel, but it's still Uncharted. And it definitely helps if you play the other 3 first, because there's little small subtle things, callbacks, and, you know, just celebrating the series. There's a lot of that as far as like, you know, here we go again, you know.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Brando, I'm sure that you and Mike will probably unpack Uncharted 4 and review it real deep on the Game Addicts podcast. That's a podcast you do with Mike Norris.
Yes.
Wes will probably guest on that show at some point. Blaine, too, maybe me. Who knows? We never know. Brando, you also do Sword Alive.
Yeah.
You guys just had an episode last week or the week before, Sword of the 90s.
Yep.
I liked it. It was a great episode. Good on you. Wes, you do the Brocast Podcast Network. You have a bunch of different shows you do on that network. It's on YouTube.
It is. We're finally getting in the process of fixing our editing, and I've actually started recording a new podcast.
Oh.
I've got three episodes recorded in the last couple weeks, and once we figure out the editing situation, I'll start uploading them on the regular, probably weekly.
Is this a new show that's a part of the Brocast Podcast Network, or is this a completely different venture?
No, it's still part of it. It's just me and Juicebox, one of our co-hosts. And we will be uploading it as we go.
Do we know the name?
It's called Entertainment Insanity. Super generic, but we spent like 3 hours trying to think of the name.
Cool. Oh, God. Dude, I tell you what, naming a podcast nowadays is just horrendous.
Hey, it really is
the worst.
Yeah, it is.
Like, me and Mike for Game Addicts, we came up with like 4 or 5 really good ideas. And then we would stumble upon one that has like 2 episodes.
And someone they did it already back. Taken the name.
Like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then honestly, for a wrestling podcast, I didn't even bother looking because I just know there's so many. I'm like, I am going super generic. Don't even care. Journey to Wrestling. I'm not even looking. Right.
I'm not hating. I like it. I like Journey to Wrestling. Foodies Watching Movies. We named it literally 5 minutes before we officially started recording that episode 0. I was just like, well, we're foodies. We like watching films. Booties watching movies. Boom.
When we were all trying to figure out for our podcast, I was really surprised Podcastrophy wasn't taken already.
Yeah, right. It's going to be if you guys don't do something with it, though, because I'm going to start.
Quite possibly.
I'm serious.
Now, we'll see.
Blaine, you are involved in a project, and we can send maybe a few people that way. Just kind of well, you're in a band.
Yes, I am officially in a band now.
Ooh.
Band Drench. Possible name change in the near future. We'll see.
What was that called?
Drench.
Hmm. Okay.
Band's been active for about 6 years now. I joined about a month and a half ago. Doing vocals. And it's been a fun time.
Cool, man. Been doing some gigs so far?
No, we're still catching me up. We're looking at about July, I think.
Awesome.
That's sweet. So, real quick, you need to do Podcastrophy or I'm taking the name. just so we're clear, There's no joke there. I really wanted you guys to do a metal podcast. Oh. I was really so excited.
It's still possibly in the works. We'll see. Listen, I got more better equipment now. So
I'm your super fan, motherfucker. Get it done. Okay? I just want to hear that podcast. I think you guys would be great.
We will not do Metalcast 3 until you guys get something going.
Oh, wow. That's some motivation right there.
I actually agree with that. Yeah.
That's some motivation right there.
And then look, you guys can put Podcastrophy as a part of the Journey into Comics Network. We'll put it on YouTube, yeah. Man.
Mike has some issues with the music.
Oh, yeah. We just won't monetize any of those videos.
Nah, it'll get blocked in 221 countries.
Damn. That's fucking crazy. Holy shit.
Mine usually just gets blocked in Germany with my vocal covers.
Oh, dude. I didn't even upload Metalcast 2. I instead uploaded the Metalcast 2 extra shit that we did before Metalcast. And then right before that, I did like a little intro saying, this isn't Metalcast 2. Go to our Podbean. Go to iTunes. Hear it there.
Yeah.
This is just listen to this first because it leads right into it. Like I'm like, look, there's just too much here that could get flagged, and I don't want to edit it in any way.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know if you've noticed, Nate, but I actually had to edit the Breaking Bad intro, the Star Wars intro.
Yeah, you've told me. Yeah.
So all those that had special intros minus Age of Ultron just got replaced with the generic intro.
Okay, well, happens. All right, guys. Well, if that's everything, this was a cool episode of Journey into Comics, guys. Thank you, Wes and Blaine, so much for coming on.
Thank you.
We love having you guys on, and you're welcome anytime.
Happy to be here. It's awesome.
Episode 97, we're three away from that magical 100. Also, I want to mention real quick, congratulations to Speak No Evil. They successfully funded their Kickstarter. Congratulations to the Black Suit of Death for also successfully...
Oh, awesome.
And you know what's
cool? Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That was cool as hell.
I'm really excited for Ben and those guys to get that done. Speak No Evil looks dope as hell, too. So if you guys haven't checked out those comics, there's still time. And the beautiful thing is, if you want to donate to Speak No Evil or those guys, look them up. You can actually just say, hey, can I still contribute? And they'll add you to the list, even though the Kickstarter is already successfully funded and over. That's just on the sly.
That's awesome.
So if you guys wanted to get it into issue one of either of those comics, just contact those dudes. But other than that, again, like I said, Wes, Blaine, thank you for coming on. Brando, do we got anything else, buddy?
That is all she wrote.
All right, anyways. So this was Journey into Comics. I'm Nate.
I'm Brando.
And I'm Blaine.
And I'm Westicles.
And thank you, motherfuckers, for listening. Thank you guys for coming on. Take care. Have a good one. Later.